Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model, our role model.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma abad, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, welcome to this special series of programs in which we discuss the ideal role model, the role model, i.e. the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You hear about his birth, you hear about his life, his teaching, the sacrifices that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for us. But again, specifically in this series of programs, we talk about the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ideal role model. And not just the fact that he's an ideal role model from 1400 years ago, but today, tomorrow, until the end of time, inshaAllah. Begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today's blessing is going to be slightly different. Normally we give you hadith, or normally we give you a saying of a pious predecessor. Today we're going to give you a practical experience of an Islamic sister. We received this information that an Islamic sister received this practical experience of reciting Durood e Pak. There was a sister, we got a message through the sister. There was a sister that was blessed with a vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was blessed with the ability that in her, when she was asleep, she saw, she dreamt, and she saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sisters all went to her house to congratulate her, and all of them, they were asking her, what is it that you do? They wanted to find out, what is it, the act that you do, that has enabled you to be blessed with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And she said that, I don't do anything really, just, you know, I do the Madani Namaz, and, you know, I make sure that I read the 3,000 Durood e Pak every day. And the sister stopped. 3,000? What do you mean 3,000? And she said, yeah, it says in the Madani Namaz that I've got to read at least 3,313 Durood e Pak every day, and I make sure that I do that every single day. And the sister that smiled and said to her that it says in the Madani Namaz 313, but it's the fact that you have been made a habit of reciting 3,313 every single day, that's why we believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you wish to be blessed with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak as much as possible. And that is the coincidence today. Today, the topic that we are going to discuss today is the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How we all wish to have this vision in our hearts, in our minds, and we're able, you know, some true lovers are blessed with able to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their own eyes. But I think the rest of us do dua that we can see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our dreams. MashaAllah, with us we have Hafiz Rafaqat, MashaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Hafiz?
I'm chilling, alhamdulillah.
You seem fresh today.
Ji, alhamdulillah. I'm always fresh.
No, you seem a little bit more energetic today.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah?
Because what it is, I was really tired and I went home and had a little 15-minute
power nap.
Yeah.
Power nap. That's why you got the
I'm all powered up and charged up, inshallah.
Tige, well, I hope you're powered up and charged because our viewers are here. They want to hear about this specific topic. And I remember, you were the one that chose this topic, the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this morning you said to me, Allah, why did I choose that topic? Well, I'm going to leave you to you to tell me why you chose that topic, inshallah. The vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that whoever has seen me in the dreams, no doubt he has seen me because the shaitan cannot interpret me.
Without a doubt.
You know, so alhamdulillah, azawajal, whoever saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams. And today's program is to just to make aware of people how important, you know, it is to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams. And those lucky people who have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams, how their lives evolved around that as well. And I just want to mention a very beautiful story that Amir al-Sunnah has mentioned in his booklet, Enlightened Morning, Subh-e Bahara.
MashaAllah.
The very famous waqia of a Jewish couple who lived next door to a Muslim family. Now, what happened was, this Muslim family decorated their homes. Just like, mashallah, many of people have decorated their homes and, mashallah, put lights on, put flags on. And this Jewish couple, they said, you know, why is it that our neighbor, every time in this month of Rabiul Awwal, he decorates his house? What's so special about this month? So the husband, he tells his wife that because the Prophet of Islam sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was born in this month, that's why he's celebrating the Milad and he's decorating his house. So this woman, she says, oh, you know, what a beautiful religion. So she goes to sleep that same night. And in her dreams, now this is not reality, in her dreams, she sees that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with the Sahaba ikrams, but she can't recognize him. So she asks someone, who is that beautiful person?
Allah.
And they say that is the Prophet of Islam, and he's going to come to your neighbor's house because he celebrates Maulud and he's decorated his house. And she says, if I call out to him, will he answer me? He goes, yeah, why not? Call out to him. So she calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what is it that you want? And she goes, even though I'm a non-Muslim, you replied to my call. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and he goes, I've had the glad news that you will soon accept Islam.
Allahu Akbar.
Now in her dreams, she recites the kalima and accepts Islam. She wakes up in the morning, that dream is still fresh in her mind. And she immediately, wakes up, goes outside the room, and she's shocked. The whole house is being decorated. Her husband is running here, running there, trying to put the decorations on. And she goes, what's happening? And he goes, well, I'm decorating the house, you know, to celebrate the Milad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How come, you know? And he goes that yesterday, when you saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream, I also had the opportunity.
Allah, and I also accepted
Islam. So both of them recite the kalima in their awakened state and alhamdulillah celebrate the Maulud of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many, many people who have seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their open eyes. Wo suwe lala zar firte hain tere din ae bahar firte hain. Beautiful kalam which Ala Hazrat alhamdulillah wrote, and he saw the beautiful vision of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. And then a very famous kalam, you know, you must have heard this kalam as well. Subhanallah ma ajmalaka ma ahsanaka ma akmalaka kite mehre ali kite teri sana. That was Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala ali in Medina Pak. You know, there's that road that goes to Badr Sharif. There is a valley there, it's called Valley Al-Hamra. Yeah, and that is the place where Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with open eyes as well. And that's when he was writing this kalima.
Allah.
You know, ke subhanallah ma ajmalaka ma ahsanaka. So he wrote this beautiful kalam.
Allah.
You know, so subhanallah azza wa jal, you know, as a Muslim, just imagine, you know, he says that it is your mi'raj that you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams. What more can you ask for but to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams? But there is a big but here. We need to be capable for that as well.
Allah, Allah. Well, again, you know, there's an interesting incident that comes to mind with regards to that. There was a person, actually, he went to a scholar. And he said to the scholar that I want to be able to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams, you know. And the scholar smiled at him. And he said, okay, go home. On your way home, buy 1.5 kilo of salty fish. Cook it, eat it, but don't drink any water and go to sleep and see what happens. So he thought, this is easy. Yeah, I don't have to stay up all night to do this or do whatever it is. This is easy. So he gets the 1.5 kilo of fish, gets it cooked, eats it, doesn't drink any water, goes to bed. In the morning, he comes up and he goes to that scholar. And he says to the scholar that, you said I would see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream. And the scholar said, no, I didn't say that. I told you to eat the fish. I didn't tell you what would happen as a result of you eating the fish, but I told you to eat the fish. Did you do it? And he said, yeah, I did. And he said, so what did you see in your dream? He said, oh, all night all I saw was waterfalls, streams, rivers, you know, drinks, all these, you know, and all
water
these things.
Water all over.
All water everywhere. I just saw this water everywhere. And that pious person, that scholar said to me, he says, because you went to sleep in a state of thirst. A thirst, a bodily thirst, a physical thirst. That thirst that you wanted to quench your thirst because you were thirsty. You'd ate that salty fish, and that's why all night you saw that. If you want to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dream, you have to develop that thirst. That thirst that you want it so much. And inshallah, when you want it so much, then you will get it. But the question is, Hafiz Saab, is, you know, how do you develop that thirst? How do you develop that thirst? And, you know, like, okay, we can't eat fish because that's not going to work, is it? We're just going to see water. What I'm trying to say to you is, if, and without a doubt, every lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wishes every me, you, everybody that's watching this program now, will all wish that Ya Allah bless us with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Amen.
But you said, are we worthy of it? How can we develop the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts to such an extent that we have that thirst inside us, that wanting inside us, that khwaish inside us, that, you know, every night we put our head down and we say, Ya Allah, I pray that it's tonight. How are we going to develop that?
You know, just to answer that, Amir Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah, in his Madri Muzakara, he's been teaching us all these kind of things. You know, if I want a good car, how do I get a good car? I can't just go out into a showroom and say, right, I want that car. I've got to be earning enough money to buy that car.
Correct.
So that is a condition that I need to earn that money. Now, if you want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your dreams, and I've heard from Amir Ahl Sunnah is that you need to build that love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart. And how do you build that love in your heart is when you act upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't have to do anything except to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can come into anyone's dream. You don't have to read any wazifa. You don't have to do anything. That's up to him. But in reality, as they say, that you have to work to get paid. In the same way, you've got to work hard. Let's see ourselves today. In reality, let's put ourselves in front of the mirror. We've got to look at ourselves. You know, do we act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we try to imitate? You know, that very famous incident where a person from Bani Israel, he passed away, didn't he? And the people throw him into the rubbish truck. Yeah, now very long waqia, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded by Allah, go and take his body, give ghusl to him, read his janazah, bury him respectfully. So Musa alayhi salam, he went there, he looked at him and he goes, he's a sinful person, how come he's had such a, you know, blessed, that Allah Ta'ala has told me, Kaleemullah, to read his janazah. So after everything, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he humbly said, Ya Allah, what was it that this person did that you are pleased with him? And he says that, oh, Musa alayhi salam, whenever he would read the Torah Sharif, he read the name of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would kiss it and he would put it on his head. He would give love and respect to that name. Just because of that, I've forgiven him.
Allah.
You know, just imagine. So in return, we say, you know, how can I see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams? Let's first of all put ourselves in the mirror and say, am I really worthy, you know, of seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dream? If you are not worthy, then that's where we need to try to make ourselves a better Muslim.
Viewers of the channel, we are watching our role model, and I want to continue with this discussion, but we've got a few packages that we want to play today. So we're going to go to one of the first packages, inshallah, and then we'll come back, we'll continue with this topic. Let's go to the package. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyiduna Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma has stated, I humbly said to the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quraysh are sitting and talking about one another's genealogy, and they have taunted about your genealogy. So the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, Allah azza wa jal made the creation, so He azza wa jal placed me in the better part of its two parts. He azza wa jal then made tribes, so He azza wa jal placed me in the better tribe. And then He Azza wa Jal made families, so He placed me in the better family. Thus, I am the best of the entire creation, and my family is also the best of all families. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers on the channel, you're watching our role model in the blessed month of Rabi Noor Sharif. And today we're talking about the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And as you were mentioning them incidents, Hafsab, you know, it came to my mind, Amir Ahl Sunnah,
Subhanallah,
that so many people have tried to rectify their children, so many people have tried to rectify certain individuals, told them to read namaz, told them to stop committing sins, told them to stop doing this, told them to stop doing that, and they've not been successful. They brought them to Amir Ahl Sunnah. Amir Ahl Sunnah has looked at them, said a few words of them, said the same words, Beta namaz paro, Beta gunao se chhod do. And that impact that it's had, you know, and it makes you think that, you know yourself that maybe we try and say to so many people, you know, you even see on the programs when the Nathwans came on Mother Channel, then saying Nathwans, clearly many people have told them that don't have music, don't have zikr, And when they're in the court of Amir al-Sunnah, Amir al-Sunnah tells them, they start crying.
Allahu
Akbar. And they repent from all their sins. And again, why is this? Why is it that an individual can say, don't do this, and it has no impact, and yet when another individual says it, it has a huge impact? And again, on that same topic, it makes you also think that why is it that when we tell our children not to do something, they don't listen to us?
You know, there's a few reasons, Khalid, how I think. This is my own personal opinion. Before I say that, let me just tell you a little story.
Another story.
About Bishr-e Khafi,
rahmatullahi. Is this one of your famous ones?
Brilliant, the famous one.
How many famous ones have you got
all
today?
Loads of them.
Loads, okay.
MashaAllah. You know, Bishr-e Khafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, that very famous Wali Allah. I've said famous again. I'm getting famous.
They're all famous. They're all famous.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
It's because
but
that is
you know, on that point though, Afsab, as a reality, all of our role models are famous.
Alhamdulillah.
And I think we need to promote our role models and explain to people how famous they are. But Karim, sorry.
You know, Bishr-e Khafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was an alcoholic. And how he, you know, did tawbah was that he had found the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, so again, he did tawbah. Allah Ta'ala gave him such a high status. Bishr-e Khafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, I was lucky to go to his Mazar-e-Pak in Baghdad Sharif as well, mashallah. And Bishr-e Khafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, one day, he was walking and he saw a person kidnapped a woman and he had a knife through her, you know, to her throat, and everyone was there. Oh, khuda no khauf kar. Well, they didn't say that in Urdu, but they say in their own mother tongue. You know, they said that, look, fear Allah, what are you doing? You know, Allah is watching you. And Bishr-e Khafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, is there walking past him, and he goes and he just says something in his ear and the person faints. You know, when he comes back around again, people, they said, you know, he goes, who was that? And they said, that was Bishr-e Khafi, the famous Wali Allah. And they said, what did he say in your ear that you fainted? He goes, he said to me, Allah is watching you.
Allah.
And he goes,
Allah,
well,
Allah.
We were saying that to you as well. And he goes, I don't know, it was these words that were in my ear, and I just could not take that words, and he fainted. So what was the difference between all of them people and Bishr-e Khafi? He was a Wali Allah.
It's the same with Ghawse Pak. When Ghawse Pak was traveling to Baghdad Sharif, and the robbers came. And the fact that Ghawse Pak just said to the robbers that I made a promise that I will never lie.
Subhanallah.
And just that one sentence had a huge impact on their hearts, that they all repented from the sins. And it says that all of them became walis of the time just by them words.
Subhanallah.
And again, that is, what is that? That is the fact that if we, but that is the, you know, that is the walis of Allah. But what I want to also focus on the fact is that you know, if we look at our day-to-day lives, Afsab, and we wonder why our children are not listening to us.
You know, I was going to come back to that question,
okay.
Yeah. Now, the answer for that, my own personal opinion.
So you're not going to give us a famous story for this?
No, not another one. It's my own famous words.
So we're going to have it from the famous half of the pocket that's going to tell us.
You know, how I feel like, Khalid, is like, you know, for example, you know, we say to our children, go to the masjid and, you know, read the Quran. We've never read it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go to the masjid and offer your salah. We've never read it. You know, as they say that, why would they listen to us when we don't listen to Allah?
Yeah.
You know, there's a very famous saying, what goes around
comes around.
So if you are not, you know, obedient to your Rabb Azza wa Jal, who's given you life, why would your children be obedient to you?
I think there's also another saying in English, practice what you preach.
Gee.
But if you're not living that life, if you're telling your children don't lie, and yet when someone knocks at the front door, you say, oh, tell them I'm not in. You know, when someone phones up, you say, tell them I'm not on. And you're teaching your children to lie, and yet you get angry when your children lie. You swear outside on the street and your children see it, and then when your children swear, you get angry.
It's funny, I had a father once in the madrasa, and he had a cig in his hand. And he goes, Afa sahab, mare mude ki samjhao, this cigarette nahi chhodna. I goes, why are you smoking yourself? So he's got a cigarette in his hand and he's telling that, I've told my son many times, he doesn't listen to me. Obviously, you do the same thing as well.
Yeah.
So we need to look at ourselves. Are we really, really, you know, truthful, you know, in what we say?
But we, like you say, in that, on that level, when we come to our tarbiyat of our children, unless we, you know, I remember once, Afsab, that I went to a certain division for a mushra, and there was about 50-60 brothers there, and one brother stood up and he complained about the Nigran, and he said that our Nigran never tells us to do anything. I said, what do you mean? He says, he doesn't tell us to go on Madri Kafla, doesn't tell us to go in Fradi Koshish, doesn't tell us to do this, doesn't tell us to do this, he doesn't tell us anything. And I looked at the Nigran, and this person, even till this day, I highly respect him. I'm not going to mention his name on the book, but I highly respect him. I'm thinking, he's not like that. And then the person that was complaining started smiling. You know, he started smiling. I actually got a little bit. I mean, what? You're complaining about him. Now you're smiling. And he said, brother, the reality is that our Nigran doesn't have to tell us to do anything. He does it all, and we just follow. He's always on Madri Kafla. He's always doing Dars. He's always doing this. And we look at him as an example. And because of him, we do our work. And be it as a leader in your own homes, be it as a leader, as a Nigran, whatever you are, unless you do it, people aren't going to listen to you. You know, you say to people, go on a Madri Kafla. You've never been on a Madri Kafla yourself. They're not going to go. You say to your children, do this, do that. And you've never done it. They're not going to listen to you. And the example that you gave about the namaz, about going to the masjid, you never go. How do you expect your children to go?
You know, because I've been in the madrasa field for a long time. And you know,
you love teaching, don't you?
I love teaching, alhamdulillah. And you know, so I was in the madrasa a couple of days ago, and one of the parents rang up and he goes, can you make sure my son reads the namaz before he comes home? I goes, okay, so what are you doing at home? I've just come back, so I'm just having a bit of rest. I goes, yeah, namaz is by in 1 hour. Have some rest. Come to the madrasa. Read your namaz. Take your son with you. He goes, chalo, inshallah, I'll try my best. You know,
you see so many times that, you know, like for example, 7 o'clock asr. Yeah. And the madrasa is finishing at 7 o'clock. And so they have to read the asr namaz before they leave. And the car park's full of all the parents, all the mothers are out there. And you feel sorry for them that Allah has not blessed them with an opportunity to come into the masjid.
Gee.
And so if you're sat in the car park waiting for your children and they're reading the namaz and you're waiting for them to come out, you need to ask yourself, what is stopping me? Why am I, and not only that, why am I not blessed with the opportunity to go into the house of Allah?
You know, Amir Ahle Sunnat Ghalibi, mashallah, you see, wherever he went, he took his sons with him. We expect to go out there, you know, work all day long, earn money, and we want to come back home. Don't give our children time, you know, chill out with our friends, come back home, and we want our children. Hey, Allah ne wali paida ho jaisa. It doesn't happen like that. You've got to give time, and to be honest with you, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, you know, I try to keep my sons with me, and mashallah, you know, just through Madani channel, you know, what do you guys, sometimes people think, you know, oh, مولوی بنی جیسا نہیں جائے اتنا سوہا مولوی نہیں بننا ہوں پتہ لگا صبح 8 بجے جانا پڑنا چلے یا اٹس نا ایزی بیکم ان مولوی یو نو الحمدللہ وی نیڈ ٹو کیپ اور چلڈرن ود اس یو نو ماشاءاللہ از ویل یو نو آئی وانٹ یو نو یو ٹو میک دعا فار دیم اینڈ برادرز میم یو نو مائی سن الحمدللہ از گون ٹو بی ٹرننگ 16 Yeah, and I know where he is. He's going to be leading Isha Namaz in Dewsbury. He's an imam in the masjid, mashallah. And alhamdulillah, he does his Jummah Namaz there. And inshallah, as well, I made this promise, whatever he wants to be in life, you know, the people, they say, Padhya lihawa ka, inshallah, whatever he wants to study medicine, inshallah, I'll make sure that he will have my support because he did what I wanted him and he loved it as well. He's in the mahol, mashallah, they're in the jadwal. And I'm not saying these are my only children, but there's many muballighin there whose children are part of Dawat Islami. So if you want, today, seriously, I was in the madrasa and I came back home and I was really down, to be honest with you, because you know, you've got these children, 12, 13 years old, have no respect at all for the deen, for the teachers. You know, you try your hard, you try to teach them, they don't even listen. And why? What the problem is, there's no tarbiyat at home. You know, have the moment. Maybe so many parents are watching. Have you ever sat your son down or your daughter and asked her, what did you read today? The only time that we get to know about our children is when we get a phone call. Hey, it's my putar, he's done this, he's done that. All right, okay, I'll talk to him. Why can't you talk to him every day? Why don't you come to the madrasa yourself? We've got to do it ourselves.
But the same parents will check his school report.
Oh, we can't do it, God, bande. Hey, we rola na.
No, no, what I'm saying is they'll prioritize the school, but they won't prioritize the madrasa.
You know what the thing is, Khalib, they might prioritize the school, yeah. You know, in our madrasa in Dewsbury, we have a teacher who teaches them extra maths curriculum.
Sure.
Why? It's because they're lacking. Okay, we might say parents, yeah, they can't afford it. We're doing it free of charge. Khudan, you know, jao, you know, just make, you know, we alhamdulillah, we made a class, they go there, they teach, fi sabilillah, we don't even charge them a penny. And we teach them maths. Why? Because we want them to be getting better. Now, inshallah, we're going, he does maths in English, sorry. So both of the curriculum subjects, parents are just not bothered. Even in school, at the end of the day, what's going to happen? They might end up on the streets. Yeah, and you can see them children, you know, you can see the next generation of bad boys. And they are, you know, where they're going, they're going through our madrasa system. Yeah, and these children are going to grow up. Once they've read the Quran, you keep telling the parents, and I guarantee you that as well, they'll never ever come back to the masjid again. Because they've got no love for that. Because the parents don't come to the masjid. And if the You know, like Harun Bhai mentioned once, yeah, that, you know, I think was he you who mentioned that the way we take our children for Jummah namaz, if we take them for Fajr and other namaz, you know, our children will be five times namazi.
But the question is, and we'll go, I'll tell you what, we'll ask you the question and then we'll go to a break and then you can ask, answer it afterwards. If, and I know we're going slightly off topic, but I think it's very important. If we can see children, you can see children and see that these children are going to be the next generation of bad boys. These children are going to be the next generation of children that are going to be on the streets. They're going to be dealing or whatever what they're doing. They're not going to be, basically, they're not going to be pious people. They're going to be living potentially life of crime. They could be the next statistic in the jail percentage. Why can the parents not see this? Don't answer that. But the question is why can't the parents not see it? And if you, as parents, well, we're going to go to the break now. We're going to have a kalam, inshallah. But as parents, if you look at your children now and ask yourself, you know, the path that my children are on right now, in 10, 15 years' time, where are they going to be? I'm going to leave you that question, inshallah. I'm going to leave half-start with that question. But we're going to go to some kalam now, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll continue discussing this topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Aka, 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 aka.
Wo kaun hai, jinke dar par maangne wala, nahi sunta. Wo kaun hai, جن کی رحمت کا دریا خود پیاسوں کو تلاش کرتا ہے وہ کون ہے جن کے اشارے سے لاکھوں کی شفاعت ہو جائے گی وہ کون ہے جو محشر کے دن اپنے غلاموں کو اپنے ہاتھوں سے جام کوثر عطا فرمائیں یقیناً وہ کوئی اور نہیں جود و کرم والے سخاوت والے رحمت والے رب کے حبیب ہمارے آقا ہیں
واہ کیا جود و کرم ہے شہ فتحہ تیرا نہیں سنتا ہی نہیں مانگنے والا تیرا واہ کیا جود و کرم
جو کرم ہے
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Back to the program. We're talking today in this program, our role model. We're talking about the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We got slightly distracted, and I think the distraction was a good distraction because we were talking about the tarbiyat of the children, bringing up of the children. And the question, you know, Afisab mentioned that, you know, he sees in the madrasa that there are children, and he can see that the way the children are acting, the way the children, the style of speaking or whatever it is, that he can see in them children that unless something happens drastically, then he can almost predict where they're going to be in 10 years, 15 years time. And that prediction is not a good prediction. It's a prediction that these children are not going to be, they're going to be the, you know, the bad boys of the future. These children are going to be on the streets in the future. These children are going to be committing all sorts of crimes in the future and not doing obviously what we think they should be doing. And my question to Hafiz Saab is that, and to all of us really, is if we can see our children now, we can look at our children now, we can see that this is the path that they're going on, then why number one, can't the parents see it? And the second question is maybe the parents can see it, why are they not doing something about it?
I think number one thing is, Khalid, that the parents, first of all, is especially the fathers, yeah, maybe there's mothers at home who might be listening, they might be single parents, or they might have their husbands working all day, and they don't even have time to come back home. And we've had a few incidents where Islamic sisters have given us a message that so-and-so mother's really worried about her children. And they say, well, where's the father figure? And they go, oh, he's always at work. So a lot of these fathers, they don't even sit down with their children, talk to them, explain to them. And even if they do, it's all about, you know, school work, it's all about this work, that work. Even that is good. You know, at least sit down with them. Majority of them, the problem is they don't sit down with them and talk about these kind of things.
Like you mentioned, but in the same way, generally fathers are not giving their children time. And, you know, that is a very important aspect. I was lucky when I was young that my father took me everywhere, wherever he went, you know. And so he'd be sitting in gatherings where there'd be elders there, and I'd be sitting there in the corner quietly. And I look around, that doesn't always happen though. You know, mashallah, see with yourself that, mashallah, you teach your children everywhere. You know, they go on the kaflas with you, they go on the ishtamas with you, they get dragged.
If I remember, I do bring them back home as well. Yeah.
That's another topic. That's another topic for another day. But yeah, what I'm trying to say is that, mashallah, you do give them time. You might not, I know you're a very busy person, and I know that you can't always give time at home, but you do your best by taking them with you, and as a result of that, you can give them time. And I think that is very important that, you know, our lifestyles have got very, very busy. We haven't got a lot of time at home, but you can still make time. Obviously, you go shopping. Obviously, you go other places. You do other things. Take them with you. Take your children with you.
You know, one thing that baffles me, Khalid, and I really get upset with that. I'm not going to say I get angry, but I do get upset with that. It's like, If you say to them, that, for example, and I know so many, not a few, so many, their children have become hafiz al-Quran. They've totally forgot the Quran now. But they've never been back to the masjid again. And if you ask them, yeah, and they'll say, oh, I'll ask him, oh, I used to tell him to go to the masjid. Why are you just saying that in that kind of a way? You know, like for example, oh, we were starting a new class. Do you want to enroll your children in? Oh, okay, I'll go home and ask him. Why are you asking him for? Enroll him. You know, you don't ask him in the morning, do you want to go to school, son? Yeah, you don't ask him that. You send him, don't you? And even though, why are you sending him? Because you're worried about they're going to kick your children out of school. So at this moment in time, what is happening? Our parents are too soft on the things that they need to be really stern and hard upon.
But I think what happens, Afsab, is sometimes if you've been soft for a long time, it's hard to make a change. And, you know, I think that is where it's difficult. And I think the only way then, my advice to the parents is that it's very hard to send your children if you've got to that stage. The way to go forward is take your children.
You have to keep them with yourself.
Keep them with you. Travel on the Monday kaflas with them. Join the courses with them.
You know, Khalibi, if I ask a question, where are your sons now? Majority of the time it's the sons, yeah? And I know so many people will think, Patani kuta gave your son, and they'll be probably turning towards the wife, kuta gave na? Yeah, and I've seen people as I was at someone's house, yeah, and that was the only reason why I went to their house. And I said to him, I said, where's your sons? And he goes, Pata nahi, aati kuda hai son. I goes, okay. And he shouted out to his wife, oh, kudar gaina, fazar hai son. I goes, you don't even know where your children are. And so many times, I think you've done beyonds like this. Even a few days ago, I heard of a 17-year-old had died in a car crash. Now, can you imagine you're sat at home and you get a knock on the door and it's the policeman. I'm sorry to say that your son's been killed in a car crash because you didn't bother to check where your son was. And that's exactly what is happening. You know, when you see these children, and that's so, if I can find out in the madrasa and they're 12, 13 years old that they're going on the wrong track, yeah, what our parents do is, oh, Afasab, you see, apne na rakho. Main kuch apne na rakha. You know, if I was to keep them with me, then fir pakke de hona sangi, inshallah, jula ina ki jamia dakhil kara. But, you know, inna ki apne na rakho. But what about you? You've got to sacrifice your time as well.
That's what I'm saying. And I think parents need to understand that you cannot shift the responsibility to Hafiz sahab, to Qari sahab, to Mulana sahab, to Imam sahab. Save yourselves and your family. It's your responsibility. Save yourselves and your family.
You know, another problem, Khalid bhai. Nowadays, yeah, you know, it's a natural amal that Allah Ta'ala made the father the leader of the house. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. The man is the leader of the house. The man goes out to work naturally. The man goes out to work. The mother stays behind. She keeps, you know, she's in charge of the house. She's the leader of the, you know, the inner house, you know. As they say that she's at home. She could bring her children up according to the deen. But nowadays, the sad thing is, they don't need the money. It's not because of money. Yeah, the mother goes out to work, the father goes out to work. So where's the children? Kindergarten. And they come back from work, pick them up and bring them home. So all day long, these children, they've been, you know, with not their parents, they've been with non-Muslims. You know, they've probably been singing and all that kind of stuff. What tarbiyah are you doing? You know, I've went to a stay where there was a doctor. Yeah, theka doctor to bani gayo. And he goes, oh, can you teach my son? Yes, I can. You know how? Oh, yeah, but we can only do it on a Saturday because we work during the day. Yeah, so deen is so, you know, second, third position now. My job is more important than my son's education.
I've said it many times, Hafizab, especially over this last month or so, that when I've looked at this situation, I've realized that deen has become a hobby. You got time, you do it. You haven't got time, you leave it. We've been talking about, you know, the vision of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've been blessed to be able to see the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the dreams. And, you know, the lovers, obviously, this is a dream for them to be able to do this. And we started talking about other things, and we got slightly distracted when we were talking about the parents and the tarbiyah. But coming back to the topic, because we've only got 10 minutes now, that, you know, what do our viewers need to do, you know, to be blessed with a vision of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in their dreams? Is it enough to light up the houses like we saw there and celebrate this? Is this what we all need to do? Should we all put our lights on and then inshallah we'll see the vision?
Let's get them up first. I think let's get the lights up, let's get the flags. And then what we need to do is we need to enlighten our heart as well. Yeah, turn on the light of the heart, meaning turn towards the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's all right going into the streets and saying, Ya Rasulallah, you know, Aqa Qiyamah, brilliant, Alhamdulillah. Yeah, but we need to understand that, you know, we are remembering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to act upon his sunnah. We need to look ourselves that, you know, we're doing all these kind of things and these are mustahab amal. Yeah, these are rewardable amal. Yeah, but the thing is, if you don't do them, you're not going to be held liable on the day of judgment. But if you don't offer your salah, you don't act upon the sunnahs, you're going to be held accountable. I always you know, read this poem. Unki sunnat mein hai jeena mera. Kaise dubega safina mera. Dekh le cheer ke seena mera. Dil hai ya shahre Madina mera.
Allah.
That's the way we should live our life. You know, like Maulana Abdul Rahman Jami, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great wali Allah of his time. Yeah, he wrote a poem to go and read into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to cut it short. He met with the soldiers on the way, the police, and they stopped him. And they said, who is Jami? And they said, it's not our Imam, he's Jami. And they said, well, we've got some news for you. You cannot enter Medina. And he said, why? You know, this is Maulana Jami, who's traveled for many weeks or months to get to Madinah Park. And he wanted to read that poem. And he says that when they stopped him, Jami rahmatullahi, he fainted. He came back around and he goes, what have I done? You know, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stop me from coming? And he says that, Jami, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me that tell Jami that if he comes to Medina with such a love in his heart, I will have no course but to come out of my tomb and greet him in person.
Allah,
now,
Allah,
can you imagine how much love Maulana Jami rahmatullahi ta'ala they had? Let's look at ourselves as a Muslim man. How am I decorating the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on me? As a woman, as a child in Islam, how am I, you know, adorned with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When I go to the weddings, ma'azallah, we wear half sleeve clothes for the women. Yeah, lipstick on, polish, makeup, everything. For who? For people. I don't think that is not jais in Islam. And then when these things do happen, I want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not going to happen like that. You know, so we need to try our best. Maybe if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to go to anyone's dream, he can bless anyone. But the thing is, there are some, the scholars, they say there are some conditions that you need to meet as well.
You know, if someone was to put a big poster on the window, and on the window the poster would say, I love my mum, and he had a similar poster in his car, and he had flags, and on the flags it said, I love my mum, and he'd walk down the street once a year and he'd say, I love my mum, I love my mum, I love my mum. And that same mother one day says to the child, that beta, can you, you know, take the rubbish out? And the son says, mum, I'm busy, I ain't got time for this. Okay. And then later on the mum says, beta, can you go to the shop and get some milk? A bit, mum, I'm busy, I ain't got time for this. Acha beta, you know, you don't go there, you shouldn't be going. I can go where I want, mum. And if that child who, you know, puts these flags up and puts these stickers on his car and puts all these things up, and yet when it comes to his mum telling him to do something, he doesn't listen, would you say that that person loves his mum?
No,
you wouldn't. In the same way, viewers of the channel, that if we claim to love, and we all of us, alhamdulillah, we make this claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that claim needs to be backed up. Yeah, and it can't be just backed up by, you know, raising our flags on the 12th and marching for 3 or 4 miles and lighting our houses. Yes, these are all good things. Without a doubt, they're good things. But, you know, loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a part-time job. Our deen is not a part-time job. Our deen is not a hobby. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a hobby. And if you really want to achieve success in this life, and you want to achieve success in the afterlife as well, then you need to adopt the deen not as a hobby. You need to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not as a hobby, but love them all your lives, 24/7, 365, and follow the deen. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us to pray, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us to fast, these are commands. There are commands in the Quran, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also commanded them. So if you claim to love this person, then when this person has told you to do something, we need to listen. And the true lovers, when you look at the true lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't ask questions. Nowadays, what's happened is, so what's the benefit in having the beard then? Okay, so what's the benefit in having the miswak then? Okay, so what's the benefit in having the Imam al-Sharif then? You look at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions, when they saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing something, they didn't say how, what, why, where, when, what's the benefits, what's it? They saw, they followed. Why? Because they loved. And nowadays, we ask too many questions when it comes to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you love the Prophet, follow him. No ifs, no buts, just follow him. And if you follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you adopt, for example, Hafiz Sahib mentioned this beautiful sunnah, you adopt this beautiful sunnah, inshallah you see a change. You adopt this beautiful sunnah, inshallah you see a change. And life, you know, adopting the sunnah is not hard. I'm not going to ask you to, oh, you got to carry 40 kilos bags and that's the only way you can follow the sunnah. No, all of the sunnahs of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so easy to follow. Just little changes, little intentions, and inshallah will be
successful. You know, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, you see today Amir al-Sunnat, mashallah, he's, you know, he doesn't think that, you know, what are people going to say. He acts upon the sunnah.
I think we've come to the end of the program now.
Is that it?
Is that it?
Oh my.
We've only just started. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching our role model. And I think, to sum up today, that if we want to achieve success in this dunya and be blessed with the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we first of all need to look at another vision. And that vision is ourselves in the mirror. Look at ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves, where am I going? What am I doing? And then ask yourselves, what do I need to do to change myself, to better myself, to be in a position where, inshallah, azza wa jalla, I can call myself a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Hafiz Saab mentioned, if it is in your kismet, if it is in your destiny, you will see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether you follow the sunnah or not. But however, our job is to change ourselves, to become true lovers and follow the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You've been watching our role model, inshallah, azza wa jalla, tomorrow, same time, same place. But in the meantime, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Our role model, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model.